Hello everybody. Today we're going to start our service with prayer. I think most of you know by now that Margaret Brookman is very poorly. She has cancer. But our God is a God of healing. So this morning we are going to pray to our God for Margaret. Please would you add your prayers to mine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the Bible tells us that at any time we can come to you in prayer. It also tells us that we should pray in the Spirit and in your will. These things we do right now, Lord. Father, our hearts are heavy for our friend, our sister in Christ. Your daughter, Margaret, is so unwell. So, Lord, we come to you now in prayer and ask that you would intervene, that you would be in this situation right there with Margaret, and that your name would be glorified in Margaret's life right now. And more than this, Lord, we pray that in everything that happens, your will be done. Nothing else, Lord, but your will. So we ask you, Father, as our miracle-working God, for a miracle in Margaret's body right now, Lord. We pray this in love for Margaret and for you, Lord. We pray that in this space, at this time, Margaret will know that you are the God who strengthens and supports her. That you will give her and Steve your peace. Your shalom that passes all of our human understanding. That even though she may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that she need fear no evil. For you, our God, are always with her. We stand against any attack of the enemy. That anything which is out of step with your will, Lord, would be stopped. And would do no harm. We pray for the team of medical staff around Margaret, that they will be given supernatural insight into their treatment for her, Lord. And we pray that the treatment plans they come up with will be the right treatments, the right plans. Father, we pray too for Margaret's whole family. That they will all know your peace. We pray for Steve particularly, Lord, as he supports Margaret through this time with all that this means. Lord, give him your strength, the strength that he needs to walk this path with Margaret. We pray for John, Margaret's brother, and Barbara, his wife too, Lord. We ask that you will be their comfort and their peace. And we pray especially for Margaret and Steve's children, Lord. We pray for Ian, for Bea and Isabel, and the baby that Bea is carrying. We pray that even though they do not walk with you yet, Lord, that they would see you in this story. We know that Margaret's heart desire is to see Ian and his family added to your kingdom, Father. So we come to you now seeking this, Lord. That even now they may see you. Lord, we ask that their eyes might be opened and their hearts might be softened. We pray too for Bev and for Mark. Thanking you for their faith in you, Lord, and ask that you would be around them, that you would surround them with your love, Lord, and that they would see your hand, Lord, in all that happens now. And we pray for your peace for them, Lord. We pray the same for Joe and Andy, Father. We thank you for their faith in you too, Lord. and ask that you, our ever-present God, would walk closely with them at this time. Lord God, we ask that you would wrap your arms of love around Margaret and all of her family at this time now. That she and they would know your comfort, Lord, would know your love and your peace. As in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, we pray for Margaret's healing, that you would accomplish this, our God, in accordance with your will. This we ask, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Now, before we turn to God's word, let's just take a moment or two. Okay. Our passage of scripture this morning is once more from Mark chapter 12 and these verses 28 to 34. And you know, there's something really good about learning scripture, and we're really getting to know these few verses from Mark 12, aren't we? So let's read them together again now. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, headed the greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," he answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You were right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Now, as we've said every week, in these verses, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And the word which we're going to focus on this morning is strength. And as we have seen again and again, having a closer look at each of these words has revealed aspects of these verses that you can see even more clearly if we understand something of the language in which they were written, rather than just a straight, direct translation into English. Looking at the Hebrew of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, the highlighted word for this week, strength, in Hebrew is the word miyod. Now, this word is translated as strength in English, but in truth, this is probably the least common Hebrew word that you would use for the word strength. Hebrew has a number of words for strength, and some of the Hebrew strength words convey the idea of physical power and might, while other ones convey the idea of capacity and energy. And even more Hebrew strength words convey the idea of having emotional strength and courage. Mio doesn't have any of these meanings. Let's have a look at a couple of verses to see this. Now, if you remember back to the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, we see a pattern, don't we? God gets on with the work of creation, and then there's a summary of each day. God saw that it was good. However, after the sixth day, Genesis chapter 1 verse 32 tells us, God saw all that he had made, and it was very, meowed, Good. Well, now, that's interesting, isn't it? And if we look at 1 Kings chapter 7, which describes the furnishings in the temple which Solomon built, when the passage talks about the bronze pots, shovels and basins in it, it says in verse 47, Solomon left all these things unweighed because there were so many meod. The weight of the bronze was not ascertained. Do you see how in both of these verses, the word meod is used as an adjective, a describing word? It's added to a noun to give it a fuller, a deeper, a bigger description. So in our account in Genesis, it's not just good, it's very good. In Kings, it's not just a quantity, but it's a beyond measure quantity. So when it comes to the idea of conveying strength, the Hebrew word meo isn't a measure of muscle. It isn't a measure of energy. It isn't a measure of power. Meod focuses on intensifying the meaning of the noun that it's describing. It's a greater level of whatever is being described. A richness of goodness, an abundance of brass. Meod is a word that focuses on moving beyond. Meod is almost always used as an adjective, except for two very specific times when it's used as a noun itself. For top context, these twice is twice out of 300 times. There are just two times when meod stands by itself as a describing word. The first time is, yes, you guessed it, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Meod. The other time is in 2 Kings, when talking about the reforms of Josiah, who at the age of 18 restored worship at the temple and re-established the law of God. You may well recognise some of the wording here. We read about it in 2 Kings 32, verse 25. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. And again, that word strength there is meod. So, what did Josiah do? Well, what we're told is that he truly lived out Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. He listened to God. He repented when the book of the law was re-established. He removed all of the false places of worship and all of the false priests and all of the false religions. He restored God's temple as the only place of worship to the one and only true God. You see, Josiah's love for God had an intensity and a higher level of quality, if you like, an abundance that moved his dedication and commitment beyond any king who came before or after. And remember, that must include King David. Josiah loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his beyond strength. Meod. That's how the word works in the Old Testament. And Jesus, in our text, takes Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and applies that verse, laying the foundations for the first commandment. Jesus takes that verse and applies it to his hearers. And this is what we're going to see now in the Greek. The scriptures in Mark 12, verse 30, also could have chosen a number of different words that get translated in from Greek into English as our word strength. The most common word for strength, 120 times in the New Testament, is the Greek word dynamis. Dynamis, dynamite. You see the connection, don't you? Dynamis is ability. It's power in action. It's mighty words. It's strength. But dynamis is not the word that Jesus used here. The word which is used is the much less common Greek word, hiskos. Apart from these verses where the greatest commandment is being spoken about, this word only occurs 7 times in the whole of the New Testament. But those 7 times speak profoundly into what it means to love God with all of our strength. Again, let's take a look at a couple of verses. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays a prayer. Verses 18 to 21 of this prayer reads like this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power, dynamis, for us who believe. That power, dynamis, is the same as the mighty strength, hiskos, he extended when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dynamis, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. In other words, God gives great power to those who believe. That power is intensified and becomes the strength which raises Jesus from the dead, placing Jesus far above all earthly powers. And hiskos, this Greek word, is above and beyond strength. Hiskos is defeating all the worldly powers and authorities kind of strength. Hiskos is death-conquering, grave-defeating, resurrection strength. Hiskos is like Mio. Do you see now how important the language this is? When the first commandment calls us to love the Lord our God with all our strength, this is the kind of strength Jesus is talking about. Mio strength. Hiskos strength. It sounds like a strength that is just out of our reach, doesn't it? Yet you know it's a strength that is totally available and accessible to us. Paul tells us about it in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in dynamo, in the Lord and in his mighty power, hiskos. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, dynamite, of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Look at all the strength and power words here. Endynamo, same word family as dynamis, means to make strong. And dynamai is the root verb of dynamis. Be strong in the Lord. Literally translated means, know that you have been given the strength that has its source in God alone. You don't have strength of your own. Not in this sense, but strength that comes from God alone. That is the source of our spiritual power. This is where our power comes from, nowhere else. But knowing that there is a source of power and having access to the power are two separate issues. Let me explain what I mean. Most of you know that I used to work in IT. And sometimes this was very frustrating, as you might imagine, especially when looking after up to 600 people and all of their individual computer problems. Now, one problem in particular used to occur much more regularly than it ever should have. And my team of support staff came up with a term for this particular problem. The term was called to have an air gap problem. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? Do you know what an air gap problem was? It was when the user had forgotten to apply power. In other words, they hadn't plugged the computer in. the socket on the wall where you plug your plugs go in, have power right there. And that power is distributed from a central distribution point that is supplied by power lines and power stations and a truly massive infrastructure. But all that power, all that energy is of absolutely no benefit if you don't plug it in. God in his grace has provided all that is necessary for you and I to know that we are the recipients of his strength. We're created in his image. When we rebelled and sinned at the fall, God had a plan of salvation. When the time was exactly right, God sent his Son to earth to provide a way back to the Father. Jesus paid the price for our sin and defeated death. God's strength, his pistis, raised Jesus from the dead. Now, that same strength that is above and beyond, that defeats worldly powers, that conquers death, that strength can be ours if we will only be plugged in. What did Ephesians 6, 10 to 11 say again? Finally, be strong and enamored in the Lord and in his mighty power, Iscus. Put on the full armour of God. How do you love God with all your strength, with all your Iscus? How do you bring your love for God to a greater intensity, to a higher level of quality, to an abundance that moves you beyond your mere? You put on the armour. The God-forged armour. So you can stand and stand and stand. And when the enemy attacks, you still stand firm and strong. You put it on and you keep it on. You put on the belt of truth. Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. Allowing the truth to convict us daily is how we put on the belt. But truth, well, you know what? We don't just put into practice the easy parts of truth, but also those parts which call for serious transformation and repentance. And the belt makes us secure. And we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from Jesus who makes us righteous. It's also a response to Jesus who calls us to live in righteous obedience. And just as the breastplate protects the most vital organs in our body, righteousness is a vital foundation in our relationship with Jesus. Then we put on the sandals of the gospel of peace. Peace is shalom. It's a peace which comes to us in all circumstances and at all times, regardless of what is happening around us or to us. Regardless of what is happening. Regardless of circumstance and situation. Shalom is the peace which flows out of the reality that God has a plan and he will fulfill his purposes. And when we have this gospel peace, we stand on a secure footing. Then we put on the shield of faith. And faith is the very heart of our relationship with Jesus. In faith, we believe all that he promises. In faith, we hold firm to the eternal security which is ours in Christ. Faith is what we hold on to when the world tries to make us doubt. When circumstances try to destroy us. When situations make us feel like giving up. Put on the shield and stand behind it, knowing that doubts will be extinguished. Then we put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation comes the moment we place our trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, when we acknowledge that he is Lord. Salvation is also this lifelong journey. And the greatest battlefield in this whole journey is actually in our minds. This is the place which needs great protection. That's why we've been given this helmet of salvation. And then we put on the sword of the Spirit. This verse actually says it all. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, when Jesus was here on earth as a human being, he used the Word of God as his protection. The Word of God is the most practical, the most amazing, the most effective weapon we have against temptation. So then, how do we love God with all our strength? Well, we make sure there's not a spiritual air gap problem. We make sure that there is no loss of connection between us and all the power and all the might that God is willing to give us when we're strong in the Lord. We stay connected. We remain powered up. We remain in Christ Jesus, no matter what. In other words, we put on the full armour of God and we keep it on. We put on the armour, not just out of mere obedience, but because we're committed to living a life of love for God, which has a greater intensity, a higher level of quality, a superior abundance. A love that is not just mere physical strength, but is beyond strength. That is how we fulfill the commandment to love the Lord God with all our strength. Are we doing this? Are we living this? Are we loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our greater than strength? This is our calling. Yet this only requires that we remain in relationship with the Saviour, plugged in to his great, great power. This is what God has provided for us, what God gives us. It's our super strength. Grab hold, plug in, switch off. For this is dynamite strength. Are you ready? For this is our community changing, darkness dispelling, death defeating power from God. Love the Lord with all your strength. You want to see things change where you live? You want to see things change in your circle of friends? You want to see things change in your family? Love the Lord with all your strength. Plug in and switch on. His strength is your strength. This is the Word of God. Take heart, take heed, and let's do it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen. And as we bring our service to a close, a blessing. Go now into the world, loving the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you will find that in this love there is no harm. This love will do no wrong to your neighbour or your friend. So go into the world with no law but love. And you will keep God's commandments of love and honour. Go into the world with no prayer but love. And God will be with you. Christ will be in you. Spirit will surround you.